Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Wednesday edition of the program is live and underway. We're so glad you're with us. Don't forget, coming up on Sunday, I'll have some special radio coverage for you on Sunday night. Always one of my favorite nights and favorite programs we do of the year. From 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Big X, we will have our tournament pairing special. I'm going to talk to 9 different coaches across Southern Indiana. We'll get you set with the latest on each of those programs and give you the tournament pairings, the sectional pairings that are set to come out between 5 and 7 p.m. From the IHSA in Indianapolis. So if you're out and about on Sunday or you want to hear after the pairings come out what maybe your favorite coach or what we've got to say about the breakdown of those pairings, we'll be with you for some very special coverage. And again, one of the more fun programs we do. We're still a couple weeks out from the tournament. I guess we're approaching 2 weeks from yesterday, which is crazy. And the coaches aren't maybe as under as much pressure as what they'll be when the actual tournament is here and getting underway. So they always give us some good stuff and are always very candid in their thoughts, not only on the draw, but their teams as well. And I look forward to that program on Sunday. I hope that you can join us. If you can't, we'll have a podcast available of it for you as always, but should be a lot of fun on Sunday. Make plans to be with us, not just for that 7 to 9 show to recap everything, but we'll have the pairings live. You got to listen to the entire state at all 4 classes, but we'll have all the local sectionals included in that announcement that comes down from Indianapolis on Sunday evening. Will be a lot of fun. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. And before I do that, what a crazy night of college basketball last night. Indiana was obviously on pause. They don't play again till this weekend. But the Louisville-Duke game, I was on the road last night and didn't get a chance to watch it, but kept up with it a little bit and saw some of the highlights when I got home. What a comeback from Duke. I'll talk about that in the headlines. And then again, Penn State beats Michigan. I mean, Penn State has challenged Purdue and took them to overtime a few weeks ago before getting beat. But John Beilein gets ejected from the game. I saw that as well. I don't know. I didn't see the whole first half to look at all the calls and context and that setting that may have led up to him getting one and then quickly a second technical to be ejected from that game. But a crazy night for Michigan. They lose to Penn State, who's at the bottom of the conference. Of course, Indiana has played Penn State and has been successful against Penn State so far this year, at least in that early game back in December. And Michigan at the top of the conference, or one of the teams at the top of the conference, they go to Penn State and lose last night in Big Ten play. And that's another one of those games that kind of summarizes how crazy the conference has been and how competitive the conference has been in this 18-19 season. The guest lineup today in segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We've got a number of things to cover in this first segment. We'll talk about Indiana offering a 2019 guard, Harland Beverly, who we've talked about before on this program. Also a couple Romeo Langford notes that we'll talk about as well, and a look at the Big Ten Conference last night, some of the scores and the results also. So that's all coming up here in segment one presented by Hoopster. Segment two, we'll have Jeff Rabjohns, I think, of Pigs.com. We'll see if he's available today. Supposed to be with us. If not, Ken Bykoff will fill in as normal, but that's our plan for segment two, to talk a lot of IU basketball today here in the middle of the week as we get ready for the IU at Minnesota game on Saturday. And again, IU winning, losing, struggling, doing great, whatever it is, always interesting things to talk about. Never a shortage when you're especially in the middle of the season of items to talk about. And what Jeff or Ken or whoever's with us from Pegues in that segment will cover lots of IU things today from a basketball perspective. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at the Hoosier headlines for the day, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We've mentioned the name Harlan Beverly. He is initially from Farmington Hills, Michigan. He played at a high school, Southfield Christian, in Farmington Hills, but then transferred before his senior year to Montverde down in Florida, which has become one of the elite high school powerhouses that plays a national schedule and doesn't compete for a state championship in Florida or any other state. It's a recruitment that's went on now for a couple months. He's someone that is a well-sought-after player. He obviously is talented. He's, I think, in the top 80 of the 2019 class, according to the 24/7 composite rating. I'll tell you a little bit about more about him as a player in just a second, but a lot of people, when this came out, I think it was yesterday evening, a lot of people saying, well, does that mean the IU coaches know something that we don't, or that fans don't, about Keon Brooks and his recruitment? And I think it's still possible that not only would Indiana want Keon Brooks's commitment, that would be huge with Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin from the in-state, but I think that there's room, plenty of room, to add Beverly as well. So he gets an offer. Some people thought, well, maybe that's bad news for the Brooks recruitment. I still haven't heard anything that's bad news. It looks like a recruitment where Keon is really considering his final choices, and everyone thinks, from a national level to people in the state, to people that cover Keon and his recruitment over the course of the last couple of years, they think Indiana, many of them think Indiana's the school to beat still, even at this point. But Harlan Beverly gets an offer in the 19 class, and here's what Corey Evans of Rivals.com, here's what he said after Beverly got the offer from Indiana. He said, quote, Beverly sits as one of the top guard prospects available and has seen a number of respected programs enter his recruitment in recent weeks. Baylor and Xavier have been involved for the longest, dating back to his sophomore year, but Miami has caught his eye, where he could visit the ACC program in the coming weeks. Iowa State and Utah just offered and could pursue further, as Georgia, of course that's Tom Crean, Indiana, and Virginia have invested some time with him. Then he goes on to say, Beverly will likely not commit until taking multiple official visits. Where he lands up is up for debate, as Baylor and Xavier still might have the edge, but his upcoming visits could change things prior to signing this spring. So it sounds like he's not maybe even close to a decision as what Keon Brooks may be at this point, but another name to track through the remainder of this high school basketball season. And with Montverde, you know, they play this national schedule, and often they're in that Dick's tournament, like national high school basketball tournament that takes place in March. So some opportunities, if this recruitment stretches on for a while, some opportunities to get to know him a little bit better and follow and even see him play on national television coming up here next month, I would believe, if things shake out as they have in recent years for his high school program. But another name to follow and track, of course, Keon Brooks is at the top of the list. He's a Fort Wayne guy. Yes, he's at La Lemire now, which is another one of those elite-level high schools that doesn't compete for a state championship. Brooks is obviously the big name here. But Beverly, it sounds like Indiana, but other schools too, making up some ground with him late in his recruitment. A couple Romeo Langford notes here in our headlines segment. John Gassaway is of ESPN, one of my favorite college basketball guys out there. Often he's on the podcast On the Brink, which is available at Inside the Hall as a regular guest there. And I just enjoy his work. I enjoy his writing. There's been talk, this season, if it continues, and we had a pretty frank discussion yesterday with Greg Doyle and Mike Pegram on this program about, is this season lost for the Hoosiers? And if things continue down this very, very bad path and Indiana doesn't make the NCAA tournament and the losses continue for the most part to rack up, how would this season rate as far as IU basketball history? And where would Romeo be looked at down the road as, you know, in his freshman year, likely his only year with the program? Would there be responsibility or blame that falls on his shoulders? And I don't think so. I think long term, with what he's meant to the state of Indiana, specifically Southern Indiana, and of course going on to still, and I'll talk about his draft status here in a minute, still be a really high-level NBA lottery prospect for this coming summer's draft, I think that his benefit, whether it's the 2019 class with Trace Jackson Davis, and if Keon Brooks joins that fold, or even future classes where Archie Miller hopefully is able to continue his solid recruiting of the state and beyond, that it's easier for kids to commit, and they consider IU a little bit more than they had, because if Romeo went there and maybe didn't have the success he hoped for in the 1 year, as far as a team perspective goes, it's still an okay thing to do, and obviously there's something going right with Archie Miller if he can help Romeo in his year and then go to the NBA. So with that said, John Gassaway, getting back to my initial point, he tweeted out yesterday, actually earlier this morning, that he said, and I'm reading a tweet here, quote, consider the counterfactual. He was replying to someone who wondered if the blame would be the responsibility of this bad season would be on Romeo's shoulders as history, we look at it down the road. He said, if IU didn't get Langford, the team would likely be a bit worse, meaning nowhere near the bubble. How loud would the criticism of performance and recruiting be then? Getting Romeo was and is massive, talking about what it meant to land Langford for this IU program. And I agree with John Gassaway's comment there completely. Speaking of Romeo, latest mock draft came out last night on ESPN Plus, a little reveal with Jonathan Givony, one of the national guys, international really, that covers this stuff from all countries and all prospects that are considering entering the draft, and ranks them and talks to the NBA personnel and knows everything going on really on a worldwide basis, because that's what it is now. The draft is, some drafts, a very small percentage really, if you look at it, are from the NCAA college basketball landscape, or even from America. More and more foreigners getting drafted from their country teams or from the clubs that they participate in as youth from overseas. But a new 2019 mock draft out last night, Romeo Langford at number 5. So I saw him at number 6 in one of the other big ones out that came, some updates came out this week earlier, and number 5 in this. And he's well at number 5 or number 6 or wherever he's at in some of these. He's well within the lottery picks, which are the guaranteed money. That's where you want to be for this NBA draft. So, yeah, some bad moments for the IU program this year. But Romeo, if you look at his stats and what he's done generally, he's had a really tremendous year. And I hope that that is not lost in this bad season for Indiana. I know the dream situation is Romeo goes to IU. That happened. The dream situation is Romeo turns IU around in that one season, or is at least a big part of turning IU around in that one season. That likely isn't going to happen unless something miraculous happens and Indiana makes the tournament and could complete almost a Cinderella story. The other thing with Romeo that we've all said, would he help recruiting? And I think that's true. Look at the 2019 class. Look at some of the other in-state players, even younger than that, that Indiana appears to be in very good shape with, at least at their early point of recruitment. So that's come true. And I think long-term, when Romeo gets drafted and keeps a connection to the program that we all hope he does, it will be many, many positives for his time at Indiana, even though it sure looks like we're going to look back on this team and we're going to remember some very bad moments as far as the team as a whole and the month of January and a losing streak in Big Ten Conference goes. But Romeo, number 5 in the latest NBA mock draft out from Jonathan Givony and ESPN yesterday. Big Ten basketball, really college basketball, as I mentioned earlier, was absolutely crazy last night. Penn State at the bottom of the conference. They are now 2-11 in Big Ten play. They won 75-69 over 6th-ranked Michigan. John Beilein, who is a great coach, who is someone I really respect and enjoy watching his teams play, and he always handles himself professionally on the sideline. Ejected from the game at the end of the first half. He got one technical, questioning a call, a little animated, his assistant coaches trying to pull him back in reins a little bit. And then moments after that, as the conversation continued after the first technical foul, as he walked back the other way down the bench, really away from the officials, and who knows exactly what was said, if they were curse words or if it was personal or who knows what. But he gets a second technical, and so Penn State came out not only with a nice second-half lead, I think they were ahead 13 points at halftime, but they came out of the halftime break with four free throws, four shots at the charity line to begin the second half. Michigan still was able to put a nice performance together without Coach Beilein in the second half. They outscored Penn State 42-35 in that second half, but Penn State held on to win 75-69. So another one of those not just mild upsets or surprising scores in the Big Ten Conference, but that's one of the shocking scores, really, of the season in the Big Ten Conference. And there have been a number of those this season if you look across things from start to finish in conference play. Also last night, a really good game between 11th-ranked Michigan State and number 20 Wisconsin. Michigan State holds on. They got a big win for them, 67-59, after they've dropped a couple games recently at Big Ten Conference play. Michigan State, by the way, is 11-3 in conference play. Michigan, with the loss last night at Penn State, they also match Michigan State at 11-3 as well. And then an upset last night on the road at Maryland is where Purdue was at, and Maryland wins 70-56. Purdue now 10-3 in conference play. Maryland now 10-4 in conference play. And not a real surprise to me that Maryland won the game, especially the fact that it was at Maryland. IU fans know a little bit about that. But the fact that they won by the number of points they did, 14 points, a big win over Purdue, has been playing some really good basketball lately. Also, just a note tonight, Rutgers and Northwestern, not really a big deal in Big Ten Conference play, but Minnesota in action tonight. This is their game before the IU game, I should say, on Saturday, so that might be of interest tonight. Going to try to watch or see a little bit of that as we talk about Minnesota later this week on the program. Also, the Louisville-Duke game, looking at things last night out of conference play, Duke had an unbelievable comeback. They were down 23 points. And so I was looking last night and this morning on where does that comeback rank as far as college basketball. Duke's comeback was the largest ever in the final 10 minutes of the game in a regulation win. But VCU came back from 26 down. Again, last night Duke was 23 down with 9 minutes and 20 seconds left to beat South Florida. That was back in 1993, and VCU would go on to win that game in overtime. But Duke's comeback, the largest ever in the final 10 minutes of the game in a regulation win. So amazing last night to see what the score was in the first half and at halftime, and then to see the final score that Duke made a miraculous comeback to win. With that said, you still got to give credit to Louisville. Of course, Indiana beat Louisville, which is really hard to believe at this point at Assembly Hall. Louisville has went on a much different path from the Hoosiers since that loss at Bloomington. They have put together a really good performance, a really good string of victories, and even in the loss last night to a very good Duke team at home, that is a game that you can still build upon as you move into later in the season play and, of course, the conference tournament coming up. So not sure that anyone saw Louisville doing what it's been able to do in this first year of Chris Mack. And, of course, the scary thing is he's got really good recruiting class lined up at this point for next season as well as incoming freshmen. So he's been able to patch things up this season. And, again, graduate transfers, a big part of patchwork that has allowed Louisville to have the type of season that they've had so far this year. And then, of course, getting it done much like Archie Miller has, I've got to put those two pretty much together with recruiting. Both of them very early, very active in their careers at their respective schools, getting some good recruiting work, landing some big players, building some good recruiting rankings as far as your overall class ranking in their early years at their program. So going to be interesting to follow Coach Mack at Louisville right across the river and see how quickly they are able to bounce back from all the problems over there. But a crazy game last night, crazy for the point that I thought Louisville could get up 23, and crazy from the point that Duke can come all the way back and win that contest. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. One more plug for our pairing show on Sunday night. 7 to 9 is the time of that. I'll be joined by Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy, Lanesville coach Michael Miller, Providence coach Sean Smith, and Clarksville coach Brian McEwen will join us from the Class 2A sectional. Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman and Brownstown's David Benner will join us in Class 3A. And in the 4A sectional preview portion of our show on Sunday night, we'll talk with Floyd Central's Todd Sturgeon, Jeffersonville's Joe Luce, and of course New Albany's Jim Shannon in that preview of the tournament pairings, and just kind of a good late season update as well on all of those area teams. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll give you reminders of the pairings for the local sectional. We'll give you our thoughts as well. It'll be an action-packed 2 hours on Sunday night, and we hope that you'll join us live on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. The podcast of this show and the pairing show always available on SoundCloud and on Apple Podcasts as well. So there's plenty of ways to keep up with what we've got going, and we hope that you'll join us for that special show Sunday, in addition to keeping it locked tomorrow and the rest of today's program, and of course Friday as well, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. We'll head to a break. We'll come back, I believe, with Jeff Rabjohns. We'll talk lots of IU basketball one way or the other. Stay with us for that next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Ken Bykoff of Peaks.com is going to be with us in this segment. We're going to talk lots of IU basketball, a little recruiting, a little bit about the team struggles, of course, and then we'll take a look more so at the game on Saturday later in the segment as well. Ken, great to have you with us again. Of course, Ken is the host of the Peaks podcast as well, which you can find at the Peaks.com website. Little update in recruiting. We have been so focused on Keon Brooks and what's going to happen with him in the 2019 class. He is playing a schedule with La Lemire in LaPorte that is taking him really across the country this season, and there's some big moments ahead for him and for his team as the high school season winds down over the next month or so. And of course, while local teams are preparing for sectionals and postseason here in the state, they have the opportunity without being in a state association to play really on a national level, and there are some big events that are televised to wrap up those elite-level high schools and their seasons. With that said, while the attention has been on Keon Brooks, Ken, another player has kind of been quietly and slowly entering the fold. That is Harland Beverly, who is originally from Michigan but playing at Montverde, which is a very similar type program to La Lemire, but located in Florida. The Hoosiers have officially now extended a scholarship offer to him, and he's an interesting player. I've not had a chance to see him play, but it sure has been interesting to read more about him, especially in the last 24 hours since the IU offer.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, they go ahead and they get that offer up there, and it kind of shows just what they feel the areas that they have to kind of shore up. You know, and obviously he's a guy who can shoot the ball. He can knock down some jumpers, make things happen with the ball in his hands. It's pretty clear that that's what, you know, Indiana is looking at just trying to, you know, work with is you know, just improving their ability to knock down shots. And that has really been one of their biggest challenges is just being able to shoot from the perimeter. And he's a guy that certainly can make something happen, knock down some shots, and maybe be able to solve a few of the issues that have plagued Indiana all year. I mean, it's really, really clear that they see that as an issue for the team going forward. Now, you know, jumping in at this point, are they going to be able to get him? You know, that's you know, a question. But when you have guys who are playing at these kind of you know, academies and you know, outside of traditional high school system, it does kind of raise the level of competition that they're playing, and so it can give you a brighter picture of how they might perform at the next level. And it's pretty clear that that he's a guy that they're seeing as somebody that, you know, might be able to come in and start to solve some of the issues that they have. That's been a big part of what they've done in terms of just improving their roster for next year. Obviously, Armand Franklin's already on board. You know, Trace Jackson Davis. It is just really a guy that, you know, they're certainly hoping they'll be able to get into the fold and, you know, be able to just help in terms of adding talent and outside shooting.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, is our guest. I mentioned this in the first segment because, you know, and again, fans, there's always immediate reaction with anything about the IU program because the fan base follows every move, including recruiting. But I initially had some questions. Hey, with this offer late to this kid, even though IU's been tracking him, does that maybe mean the coaches don't feel good about their prospects in landing Keon Brooks? And given that it's a player that we've been hearing about for a while, and given that there is possibly some extra room with scholarships, depending on some things that happen with the team and graduating seniors and Romeo going to the NBA, etc., I didn't take it that way when I saw that he was offered. It's not like this came out of the blue and is a new player that all of a sudden IU's involved with, and, oh, by the way, they went ahead and offered him a scholarship fairly quickly in the process.
No, not at all. You know, and that's the thing is, you know, I do think that there's going to be some turnover with this roster. I think, you know, we've been through it for a couple of years, and people really just seem to there are certain guys that aren't fitting very well, and I don't know, you know, that for sure that's what we're going to be seeing. But it's pretty clear that there's going to be some differences maybe in this roster next year. And so when you need to shuffle around, need to move some people, you know, it makes sense to go after a guy that you've been tracking for a while. And so I wouldn't read anything into them extending the offer, considering, you know, where they are with Keon or anything like that in relation to other people, not in this situation, because of the fact that, you know, Archie Miller and his staff have a very clear view of, you know, what they want to do with the roster. And it's certainly not a situation where somebody would that they're just kind of throwing stuff out there and see, you know, letting the chips lay. Coach Green did that. You know, it was a thing of, well, if things will work out. But that's not the way Archie operates. So there's always a method to his madness. So I wouldn't read in anything to that when it comes to Brooks. I think that these are two mutually exclusive situations.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, with us talking lots of IU basketball in this segment. Crazy night of college basketball last night. I mentioned this earlier, and I cited the Michigan upset, Coach Beilein getting ejected, which is something you don't ever see. And then, of course, out of the conference, the Louisville-Duke game last night. I thought for a Tuesday night it was a wild one here as we enter the middle of February.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's kind of what makes things fun. I mean, is that you do have those situations where, you know, teams just don't turn. I mean, you didn't even mention the LSU win over Kentucky.
Yeah.
It was surprising. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that are going on with college basketball. But, you know, you're kind of seeing a function of, you know, look, there are teams that are starting to play a little bit more of a sense of urgency, which I think is kind of something having to do with that Penn State Michigan game. The fact that they were at home certainly helps. But, you know, Michigan has been rolling along. There are times when they could be, you know, face some hiccups. They did it against Wisconsin a few weeks ago. You know, there's you know, it's they're a very good team, but everybody could have an off night. And, you know, it's just that time of the year, and teams are starting to see, you know, March in the very near future, and people start playing a little bit different at this time, especially your seniors. they start to see the end of the road coming. And there's two ways that you could do that as a senior. You could either just put it on cruise control and get to the end, or really push everybody to give their full effort, realize that there's still some opportunities ahead of you. And, you know, I think that we've seen some of that, absolutely.
Again, the conference has been crazy. It's been good. I mean, it's been really good as far as talent and ranked teams go, and I think the conference has an opportunity to place a number of teams in the NCAA tournament, and I think there are a few teams, especially, in my opinion, Michigan and Michigan State, that if they're playing correctly, the way that we know they can on certain nights, definitely not how Michigan played last night at Penn State, but I think they can make nice runs into the tournament and represent the conference very nicely. But there still have been some crazy moments and crazy scores when you look at bottom-level teams like a Penn State, not only winning against Michigan the other night, but taking Purdue to overtime. And there are examples, I think, if you look at just about every team, including Indiana, who beat Michigan State despite losing, what, seven games in January in a row?
Right.
You know, just some crazy scores and crazy happenings. And I know to an extent that's the case every year, but it seems to be happening really across the conference this year. No one is safe in any given game.
Yeah, you know, it's a really, really competitive conference. And, you know, that's both a positive and a negative. I think that it's a positive because it just shows the strength from top to bottom of the league. Look, there isn't a team right now in the Big Ten that's won more than three straight games. I mean, and that's pretty shocking when you look at the number of teams that are ranked in the conference. But by one token, it can hurt a little bit in terms of seedings and rankings when you suffer some of these losses. By the same token, I think when you get to the tournament, you're certainly heartened. I mean, you've been through every battle that you could possibly imagine in the league, and that's one positive for the Big Ten. You know, people talk a lot about year over year, it seems that, you know, well, the Big Ten's down, the Big Ten isn't as strong as it used to be, and then every year there's, you know, a team in the Final Four. There's a team that, a couple teams that are in the Elite Eight. I think that is just a function of the league, and it just really does a great job of preparing teams for March. Now, the question is whether a Big Ten team could go ahead and step through and win a national championship. That remains to be seen. Michigan State's the only team in the past 25 years to win a national championship from the Big Ten. Maryland won one when they were back in the ACC. But Michigan State's the only one in the past quarter century, a Big Ten team, to win a national championship. And so that's going to be a real challenge for somebody to overcome that.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, my guest today. We're talking IU basketball. And I want to get into the weekend game for the Hoosiers. I know Minnesota is in action tonight against Nebraska, which could be an interesting game and give some easy scouting notes for the coaches and even fans to follow tonight. But the Minnesota game is one with this team. There's really no predicting any game, I guess, for this current IU team with the way they've played in the second half of the season. But specifically Minnesota, they've had some really good nights, they've had some mediocre nights, and they've had some really bad nights as well. It's a game that, because it's on the road, I think is going to be a difficult contest for Indiana. And again, you have to underscore everything you say about IU and their matchups right now by reminding, and of course I don't know that we need reminders, but with how IU's playing now, there really isn't a game in the conference that's going to be easier where this team might even be favored right now.
No, and the fact that they're on the road is a challenge because you know, that arena up there is different than a lot of others. It is just so big, and it's, you know, the raised floor and everything that goes along with it. It's a little bit of a different environment, and I know that Indiana typically has some trouble at Minnesota. But, you know, the thing that I keep coming back to, you hit it right on the head, is every time this team takes the floor, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't have a sense at all of what's going to happen. Even if they get off to a slow start, they could come back. I mean, they have, you know, battled these teams. And I know it's one thing that I got to give Archie Miller a lot of credit for. After that Rutgers game, the last three games, that win at Michigan State, that loss to Iowa, the loss to Ohio State, Indiana has battled the entire way. And previous to that, the previous couple of weeks, they were losing some blowout games. They've been battling. They haven't been winning them all, but they've been battling. And so, you know, they're going to have an opportunity to score a nice win on the road. This is still the same team and the same players that are on the court that were part of those wins over Marquette and Louisville and Michigan State. You know, all of these these night's moments, but they're also the same guys that got run out of the building basically at Rutgers. So it's you never know what you're going to get when you take the floor, and to me that's a bit of a challenge. It's not great to have that situation this late in the season, but that is the is, and it's just something that Indiana has to deal with.
Ken, what as you follow this team and cover this team, and you're at most of the games, especially the home contest, what is a reasonable expectation at this point for a fan, a diehard, someone that is going to support this program, win, lose, or draw every season? What's a reasonable expectation for this team as they finish out the Big Ten play, the Big Ten schedule, and get into at least the Big Ten tournament play?
Yeah, you know, what I want to see from this group is consistency from possession to possession. I mean, it sounds like such a basic thing, but it really is. Hey, let's see consistent effort from possession to possession. Let's see this team continue to battle. You know, it is a terribly flawed roster. You just don't have the amount of perimeter shooting that you need to really unpack the lane and give room for guys to create off the dribble. That's a problem. So you don't have consistent play from a guy like Devontae Green. He's all over the board. For one of your upperclassmen, your juniors, you want to see better consistency from him, and you just don't get it. And at this point in his career, I don't know that you're going to see that from Devontae. I really like what I've seen out of Deron Davis and how active he has been. But this is a team, I think, that it's just so much about just building confidence and finding some swagger and just getting back to believing in themselves. This is a team that did a great job in December of battling and gritting out some tough wins over Northwestern and Penn State, Louisville, Butler, Marquette. I mean, they did a great job with that, and then they hit that hiccup. And now they've been up and down all over the board. And I think fatigue is a factor. I think that the injuries have really become a problem. Even as guys have gotten healthy, it's still the heavy minutes guys played and young guys played early in the season really are now coming home to roost. It's tough to play through that, especially freshmen. A guy like Romeo Langford, who has had to play just major minutes, have to carry a huge load, is difficult. You want this team to just show toughness and, both mentally and physically, and find consistency over the last, 7-8 games of the season as they go into the Big Ten tournament. And that's really what I'm looking for, something that could set the tone. Obviously, this year is a bit of a disappointment. There's still opportunities ahead of Indiana, and they can't forget that. But certainly this program is not where many expected it to be at this point in the year. Even with that flawed roster, you still expected them to be better than 13-11. I mean, you just did. And so that is it's a disappointment. But now the point that the players have to take away and that the coaching staff really has to pound into these guys is anything that has happened before Saturday is irrelevant. It really is. I mean, they're 13-11. Nothing that they do now is going to change any of that. All you could do is look at these 7 games that are in front of you, 8 games, the Big Ten tournament, and decide which direction is our season going to go. And everything that's happened before, you got to put that in the past. You have to move on because there are still opportunities ahead.
Ken, you're a reasonable guy from everything I know. I'm curious, as you see the fans berate Archie Miller, as you see fans go negative on this team and maybe take it completely too far, not just a little bit too far, but completely too far, what do you think a fair time is? And I know that there's always kind of rules of thumb out there, you could say, in different industries and different trades. But, what type of criticism should Archie Miller get at this point, if any? And what is the time for a rebuild? I mean, where Indiana's program was at when Coach Crean was not coming back as the coach. What's a fair time for people to really, the fan base I'm talking about, to really evaluate him and maybe give him some grief if he deserves it?
Well, the fan base, first and foremost, needs to recognize that it's not the 1970s and 80s anymore. And nobody likes to hear that. But over the past 25 years, this team's peers have not been Duke and Kentucky and Kansas and that level. That's just not it. It's more like Oklahoma State and Tennessee and Temple and programs like that. you could have your expectations, but in terms of results over the past 25 years, Indiana is not among that elite group. But I'll give you a stat. Xavier University has from 1993-94 season through the end of the 2017-18 season, so last year, had 96 more wins over that period than Indiana did.
Wow.
96. And so, I mean, I understand everybody remembers the good old days, but the good old days are gone. And so you have to say, how do we get back there? Because the program obviously can get back there. This season, I think just the combination of a flawed roster, maybe having your hands tied a little bit by the APR situation left by the previous coaching staff, injuries, all of those things have come together to make it certainly a disappointing season. And Archie Miller is the first one to say that he has to do a better job with this team of knowing which buttons to push. Now, going forward, this is his second year. I give him at least a couple of more years to get everything set the way that he wanted. This year is kind of a wash because, yeah, you had Romeo Langford, but you had so many different kinds of injuries along the way that consistency and the time that you build your program in practice was just so start and stop that it's really difficult to get a beat on things. You just want to be able to find an identity for the team. And I don't think Indiana had one over the last couple of years of Tom Crean's time. I don't think that they've had one for the first couple of years of Archie Miller's time here. There isn't one thing that you could hang your hat on as IU being a really tough defensive team or a three-point shooting. The teams have lacked identity, and until that identity is instilled, and it comes from culture, it comes from just having the right kind of guys on the roster, that to me, the X's and O's, the games, you know, that's one thing that you could look at and say Indiana hasn't done a great job this year. But I think that the problem has been deeper than that, and it goes back to culture and the mix of players on the roster that certainly I'm not ready to sit there and start, screaming for changes at all with, you know, in 2 years into this thing with Archie Miller. He needs more time before we get a good look at what he's going to be dealing with. There's a reason he's playing as many young guys as he is, and it's not all injury-based.
Ken Bykoff of Peaks.com. Ken is host of the Peaks podcast. Let's look ahead, far ahead, for just a moment. This is a question that, you know, I hear fans bring up fairly often, especially when you get late into a season and things have gone off the rails as they have now for really a month and a half for this IU team. Can you see things being better next year? I mean, Juwan Morgan's gone to graduation. Romeo Langford, we talked about in the first segment on the show today, is projected by one reputable place to be the sixth pick, the other to be the fifth pick, clearly in the lottery for the 2019 NBA draft. I don't think there's much of a chance at all that he returns. Can you see there are some incoming recruits that, if Keon joins the class, that could help even more. But can you see major improvements in the record and changes with this team fundamentally that they need to make sure they don't have these types of lapses in the future next season?
You would hope. You would hope. Because, I mean, you know, look, if they're able to get Keon Brooks, basically it gives them, you know, Trace Jackson Davis is a McDonald's All-American. I think Keon Brooks should have been. If they get him, that gives you two young guys that really can just boost the overall talent level. Armand Franklin does a great job and has really developed as his season has gone on. He's a quality outside shooter. You have some more additions. I think that would be a positive. Another year of just working through Archie's system and installing a culture of what you expect out of a program, I think could help. I don't think next year you could say, well, Romeo's not going to be there and Juwan's not going to be there, so it's going to take a step back. They're not exactly being replaced by bad players, and sometimes you could have a situation where a guy who is in the program can really take that next step. So much is being put on Romeo right now and what he's doing that sometimes, and this isn't a knock on Romeo, please don't misunderstand. When you have guys that it has to be more of a team effort, you can't just defer to Romeo or defer to Juwan. It can help everybody develop, maybe to have to step up a little bit. I just think that it's going to be important next year to have everybody on the same page as soon as possible, because I think that that has been the biggest issue this year. We look, we haven't even seen Jerome Hunter out there. We haven't really seen Lace Thompson in any kind of meaningful way. There is going to be talent on this roster that I think that'll take a step up in certain positions. And if you could just get more balance on the floor than just having to concentrate on two guys, I think that certainly you it's not going to get worse, and it has a real opportunity to get better.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, with us on this Wednesday program in place of Jeff Rabjohns. Ken, great to catch up. Always fun, even in the bad moments, for this IU team to talk hoops. And we'll do it again very soon, I know.
Sounds great, Matt. Take care.
All right, Ken Bykoff with us of Pigs.com. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with the final segment, a couple other notes for you, and we'll wrap things up here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
A couple other notes to wrap things up here on this Wednesday program. Obviously, lots of talk about recruiting today. Rivals.com recently updated its prospect rankings for all the classes on a national level. And just to look at where some of the IU-related guys, IU-associated guys are at in the 2019 class, Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove, IU signee, McDonald's All-American, front runner, most likely for the Mr. Basketball Award in the state of Indiana. He's the highest-ranked guy at number 20. Behind him, seven spots at number 27 is Keon Brooks at La Lemire. He is considering Indiana, Purdue, Kentucky, Michigan State, North Carolina in his final list. And I really don't think Purdue, as they have listed here, is much of a factor in that right now. Also, other in-state guys, Armand Franklin is number 137. He's committed to Indiana. And just of interest, Brandon Newman of Valparaiso, who is going to Purdue, he is number 78. So really four players from the state of Indiana in the senior class, even though Keon Brooks technically not in the senior class as far as high school basketball goes that compete for a state championship. Four guys in the class in the top 137. Two IU guys, potentially. I'm saying Keon Brooks is in that fold, and he's not, in the top 30 or so players in the country. We'll see if Brooks ends up coming to IU or not. Also in the 2020 class, number 91 is Anthony Leal of Bloomington South. He's considering IU, but has not an offer yet from the Hoosiers. He does have offers from Butler, Iowa, Maryland, Northwestern, Stanford, and Xavier as well. Also 2021 class, Christian Lander of Evansville Rights. We've had a chance to see him recently as his Rights team taking on New Albany and Jeffersonville and Floyd Central over the last few weeks. He is the highest-rated Indiana guy in the 2021 class of current sophomores at number 23. Caleb First, way up at Fort Wayne Blackhawk, 6'9". He's got an offer from IU, also Butler, Purdue, Iowa, Northwestern, Ohio State. He's at number 38. So the 2021 class, two players in the top 40 at this point in the national rankings at least. Also, all this talk about IU, NCAA tournament, probably not going to make it. Would have to put together an unbelievable string of wins to get in the tournament. Believe it or not, right now there are a few brackets that still have IU in the fold. Andy Katz, who works for the NCAA, does some media writing stuff for the website, used to be at ESPN. He's got Indiana as one of his last four teams in the tournament. That's the NCAA tournament. Shelby Mast of USA Today, they also have IU still in the tournament at this point as well. There's a couple different outlets out there that list Indiana as one of the last four teams out of the tournament. So on the outside looking in, but narrowly, you know, on the outside. And it's obviously a situation where, because of Indiana's good start in non-conference play, that is helping make up ground for some of the second half of the year bad moments and bad losses. And even though we all feel like Indiana is completely out of the picture and probably should be if they were or would be if they were just judged on their January and February, we often forget November and December were really pretty good for this team, where they were able to record some wins that matter as far as the seeding go and through that process. But still a tough stretch, because Indiana going to have to win some of these games to even hold their own where some of these guys have them projected at right now. And I think for those of us that watch all the games and study it very closely, and I'm talking about fans as well that watch this stuff very, very closely, I don't think anyone right now has a lot of confidence that this team can win the majority of its games the rest of the way and either make the tournament, make some brackets in some people's estimations, or the couple that do still have them in hold their own and stay in there. So we'll see what happens, but obviously Indiana, a lot of work cut out for them here over the final couple weeks of the season. Next game for IU is Saturday at Minnesota. We'll have that game here on the Big X, and then don't forget Sunday night from 5 to 7, we've got the IHSA boys tournament pairings as they are released from Indianapolis, and then we'll be on after that with our local tournament pairing show beginning at 7 o'clock. We'll talk with 9 area high school basketball coaches. We'll give you all the brackets of local sectionals. We'll talk with the coaches about the drawing and about their teams here in this middle of February point, as we are 2 weeks yesterday away from the start of the sectional tournament. 2 weeks yesterday away, and of course a week, less than a week now away from the IU-Purdue rematch, which is what's up next for this Hoosier team after they play at Minnesota on Saturday. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Thank you so much for being with us. Don't forget, we do this every weekday at 11 a.m. here on the Big X Sports Radio. If you miss the live show, you can catch us at 3 p.m. most days. We also have a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. It's really easy. You can just point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, and catch us that way, or you can catch us in the app for SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. Have a great Wednesday. We're back on Thursday. Lee Kelly joins me. We'll have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll also have our Southern Indiana basketball update and more coming your way on our Thursday program. Have a great Wednesday. I'll talk with you then. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.